Bless his holy name. God is worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, God has blessed us beyond enumeration, beyond our deservance. And certainly we ought to give him praise and give him glory. God is awesome. God is a God of authority. And God avails himself to us. Certainly we thank him, for this is the day that he has made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. It's good to be alive, alert, and active, for it is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. Certainly we thank God for Reverend McCoy, deacons and trustees who have devoted us, the choir, and the same, to posture our heart in praise and worship. Musicians, minister of music, environmental safety team, security, media ministry. To all of you, my Father's children, it's just good for us to be here. Y'all don't sound too enthused. It's good for us to be here. In the land of the dying, on our way to the land of the living, the Lord has spared us once again and has navigated our niches and allowed us the privilege of being in this place. It's good for us to be here. There's no other place I'd rather be. I'm as the psalmist. One thing I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for manifesting yourself, Lord, in the prayers and singing of your songs, scripture reading. Lord, we now ask you to manifest yourself in your word. Give us a word from on high. Send your word as you send snow and rain from heaven. Water at the earth to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Lord, I stand decreased as you increase. Less of me, more of you. Have your way in us and through us for your glory and our good. Give me preaching power and preaching grace. Hold me, Father, as I stand to deliver your truth. Lord, I thank you for courage. Lord, I ask that you make us one. That as Jesus prayed that we be one, Father, that the message of his coming will be preached and taught and received by the hearers to be saved. Lord, if there's a sinner man or sinner girl, sinner woman, sinner man, we pray that your word confront, convict to convert in Jesus' name. Lord, that they will come running, what must I do to be saved? I pray, Father, that you touch some discouraged soul. Life has beaten them down. And it's beating upon them now. And they said to themselves, if I could only get it to the house of God. I hear word. I see something. I hear something that will make it better. Will bless me and build me. So, Lord, have your way in this place through the preached word. And, Lord, when you would have finished with us, you'll still be God, having all the honor, praise, and glory. Send us out differently than the way we were when we came. That, Lord, our co-workers our neighbors, our families will know that you have wrought a change on the inside. In Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Glory to the name of God. I feel good. My God. My God. I feel blessed. Listen, if you have a smile on your face, let me see your thumbs up. Come on, look at somebody and give them the thumbs up. Amen. Amen. Look at somebody and let them know you're happy. Let them know you're blessed. Look at the person behind you. Look at them and give them a thumbs up. Amen. I'm happy. And I'm not ashamed to show it. I'm happy. I'm blessed. Amen. God is doing the work. Come on, I'm happy. Come on, give him a smile again. Lift it high. The higher you lift it, the harder you're smiling. Amen. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. John 13, beginning with verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Look at someone, if you will, and say, reaching in. Loving one another. Look at another and say, reaching in, loving one another. Come on, help me shout at the virtual audience, if you will. Reaching in, loving one another. Bless the Lord on the way to your seat. Reaching in, loving one another. Reaching in, loving one another. William Gladstone, a member of the British Parliament in the mid-1800s, announced the death of Princess Alice to the House of Commons. With the announcement, he told this story. The little daughter of Princess Alice was seriously ill with diphtheria. The doctors told the princess not to kiss her little daughter because that would endanger her own life by breathing in the child's breath.
All right.
Once when the child was struggling to breathe, the mother, forgetting herself entirely, took the little girl into her arms to keep her from choking to death, rasping and struggling for her own life. The child said, Mama, kiss me. Only thinking about her dying child, and without a thought of her own illness, she got diphtheria. And soon after, Princess Alice died. Real love forgets self.
That's right. That's right.
It is from the beginning of chapter 13. We know that it was the night before the crucifixion of Jesus that Jesus ate the Passover with his disciples in the upper room. After supper, Jesus unrobed himself and girded his loins with the towel and sat at the feet of his disciples and washed their feet.
That's right.
It is verse 31 that says that that now is the Son of Man glorified. Because after Jesus washed his disciples' feet, it is Judas Iscariot who, under the auspices and influence of Satan, went and betrayed Jesus.
Right.
It was not to Jesus' surprise, because Judas had been known as the son of perdition.
Right.
And Jesus, knowing that it was time for him to die on that cross, it was time for his resurrection from the grave and his exaltation and return unto the Father, he knew that God's plan had been set in motion.
That's right.
But you remember, Jesus had been warning his disciples of his impending, inescapable death on Calvary.
Yeah.
Yes, he understood that the plan of God was going exactly according to the will of God.
Amen.
It is in Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11 that says, "Yes, God works all things according to the counsel of his own will." And what we see in Judas is God working all things according to the counsel of his own will. It is Peter in his preaching to the church that was gathered in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 23. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucify and kill by the hands of unlawful men. Jesus, knowing that Judas was fulfilling the plan of his father, allowed Judas to leave the room, where Judas sold him out for 30 pieces of silver.
Amen.
He betrayed him.
Yeah.
So he knew his time was at hand. He knew that he would soon leave his disciples.
That's right.
So notice in verse 33, Jesus addressed his disciples with the word of tenderness.
Mm.
He refers to them as little children. It is a grown man talking to grown men.
That's right.
But he didn't say men of God.
That's right.
He said little children.
Amen.
He knew his crucifixion, his death, would bring them to a place that they had never been before.
That's right.
For they had left their boats and left their tax booth. They had left their occupations and families to follow Jesus. And now Jesus says to them, "A little while, I will not be with you." So he calls them little children because he understood that his departure would bring them to a place of infancy, a place of immaturity, a place that they had never been. You remember after Jesus was crucified. And after he was crucified, Peter went back fishing, because he had come to a place where he had never been.
That's right, that's right.
He says, little children. He gives them a term of endearment.
Yeah.
A term of tenderness. He says, I'm leaving you.
Yeah.
And Jesus somewhat makes a shift in tone. He begins to comfort his disciples in light of his coming death.
That's right.
His coming resurrection and ascension. He says, you are to love one another.
Yeah, yeah.
You are to love one another. To love one another requires a love that sets self aside. He says, you are to love one another. I wondered why he said love one another. And then it dawned on me that these are the same disciples that preferred self above others. He says, you are to love one another. In other words, you are to set yourself aside. Get self out of the way. Make sure self takes the low road, because you are going to have to minister to one another, because I will not be here with you in the flesh.
Amen.
Love one another. Put self aside. I think I need to pause parenthetically to say to us that self is our worst enemy. It's not someone else who's keeping us from doing what it is the Lord has commanded us to do. It's not so much even saying who is keeping us, but it's self. See, faith has to have something or somebody to work with to hinder. He works with self. Jesus says, you love one another. Get self out of the way. Make sure self is in self's proper place. Make sure you beat self daily to deny self. He says, get self out of the way so that the love of God can flow through you and people will experience the love of God and join themselves to God because they see that God is a God of love. Get self out of the way. That's a word for somebody. There's a word for somebody right in here, sitting up in here, because you have made everything about self. You have ruined good relationships because it's all about self. You have ruined good friendships because it's all about self. You have ruined good membership in church because it's all about self. Let me help you. Self has gotten you in so much trouble that the spouse can't stand you. Children can't stand you. Church members can't stand you. Your co-workers can't stand you because it's all about self. Jesus says, if you're going to love, you have to put self aside. His words are aimed at church, at the Christian family. He's talking to his own disciples. He's saying, hang together. Stay together. Make sure that you share love, because you're going to need it. Here it is, three things he gives us from the text that helps us reach in to love one another. First of all, you have to understand that there is a mandate to love. He mandated love. Verse 34, Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Love is not option, not an option for the child of God, for the people of God. Notice, this is not a suggestion. This is not a recommendation. This is a command. So he mandates love, a command, which means that love is an order. It is a direct, authoritative order. Love one another. He's not saying if you feel like it. He's not saying if you think hard about it. He's simply saying love one another. It's a command. He attaches new to it. He says this is a new commandment. The word new does not occur anywhere else in the gospel, nor anywhere else in the Bible, except for in 1st and 2nd John. In 1st John chapter 1, verse 2, verses 7 and 8. Brethren, I write
No new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. He says new commandment, not an old commandment. New commandment. John chapter 1 verse 5. And now I beseech you, lady, not as though I write a new commandment unto you, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. John helps us understand the new commandment. He tells us that God loves us and gave his son Jesus for us. And he says, now I give unto you a new commandment. New, krenos in Greek, which means new in quality, fresh in development, because it is not found exactly like this before. The commandment to love one another is not new in and of itself, because in Leviticus 19 verse 18, Moses said, love thy neighbor as yourself. The commandment is not simply a restatement of the Mosaic principle to love one's neighbor as oneself, because if so, it would not be new. But the newness of the commandment is implicit in the word, even as I have loved you. Moses couldn't say that, because Moses loved like we love, but Jesus Christ, he loves deeper. He loves longer. His love is more enduring. His love is everlasting. Somebody here ought to be a witness, because you have experienced the love of God, and you know for yourself that can't nobody love you like Jesus loved you. Is there anybody in here who can be a witness that the love of Jesus Christ is deeper, is more enduring, is more everlasting than anyone else can love? He says, love me. Love others. Even as I have loved you. There is a deeper intensity in this love than can be found in Moses' words. Love thy neighbor as thyself. We love conditionally. We love as long as you're acting right. We love as long as we're getting what we want. Come on here, y'all, catch up with me. We love as long as we are feeling loved and experiencing love. But he didn't tell us to love like that. He told us to love with a deeper intensity. Love like he loves. We ought to know about that from our own relationship with him, that we hadn't done all things right. We hadn't always responded properly and appropriately to the love of God. Matter of fact, sometimes we have disobeyed, disdained the love of God. Because in disobedience, we have responded illy to his love. We understand. But yet we also understand that he didn't stop loving us. And we ought to be glad of that, because that's the only reason we are sitting up in here. Up in here is because the Lord didn't stop loving us when we didn't respond properly to his love. Aren't you glad he's long suffering? That he has put up with some stuff from you. He has put up with some stuff from me. He's long suffering. The reason you are sitting up in here is not that you've been good, you've been obedient and kept all of the commandments, but he's a God of love. He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercies. we understand from our own relationship with Him that His love is unconditional. And here it is, He's telling us by way of tall order that we are to have unconditional love for one another. He says, a new commandment I give to you. And he says, this new commandment is a standard beyond self-love. The basis of this new commandment is the love of God expressed through His Son and expressed through us. See, God will never command you to do anything He doesn't give you the ability to do. See, all He wants us to be are conduits. He wants to flow His love through us. And the reason He gives the command is because He gives the love. He gives the ability for us to do what it is that He has commanded for us to do. You can love your neighbor. Matter of fact, look at the person sitting beside you and say, I love you. I love you. I love you. Look at the next person on the other side of you and say, I love you. Now y'all look up at me as I look up at you and say, I love you. Oh yes, I love you. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. I love you. I'm going to love you right. I'm going to love you until some of that stuff come out of you. I'm going to love you until you stop lying. I'm going to love you until you stop backbiting. I'm going to love you until you stop stabbing in the back. I'm going to love you. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm going to love you. I'm going to put up with you until you get right. I know there's some stuff in you that make me not want to love you, but I'm going to love you through that too. Come on, help me preach. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm going to love you through that too. I'm going to love you regardless of what you do and regardless how you respond. I'm going to love you. And I love you and there's nothing you can do about it. Some of y'all scared to look at the person and tell them. Y'all looking up at me and I'm telling y'all to look at somebody and say, huh? You already got it made up in your mind and you done already drawn your line in the sand. This is far as I'm going with this person because, Pastor, you don't know what they have done to me. But listen, let me tell you, if you can't love them like the Lord has loved you, you are not loving at all. Listen, if God can put up with all of that stuff that you have done, if God can put up with all of that mess that you have done, you ought to be able to put up with somebody else. He says we are mandated to love. It's a command. But after the mandate, the command, He gives us a model of the love. Verse, notice 34 and 35. He says, a new commandment I give unto you that you love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. By this shall all men know. He gives us a model of love. Jesus said, just like I have loved you. Loving like Jesus' love is not a selective love. In other words, Jesus tells us to love one another after the manner and type of His love for us. Jesus in the upper room with His disciples, He says, I know one of you will betray me. And all will deny me. And Peter began to argue with the Lord and said, no, I'm going all the way. And when the rubber met the road, he was the first to flee. You know, there are people in your circle that'll say to you, I'm going all the way. But as soon as things change, as soon as the weather changes in your life, you don't see them because they are the first to go. See, people can make their mouth say anything. They can speak well but not do well. They can say a whole lot of stuff that you want to hear, make you feel good, to lift you high, just to drop you low. He says, I'm going all the way with you. And he was the first to go. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. And his love is expressed in him giving his life a ransom. Jesus said of himself, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. He loved us with a constant, patient, forbearing love, with a love active, practical, self-abandoning, and self-sacrificing. He said to his disciples, he says, love one another as I have loved you. He loved his disciples when they were poor and unworthy. He loved them in their weakness and error and backsliding. He loved them strongest when they least deserved it. One of them betrayed him, but he loved them still. Another denied him, and he loved him the more. One sternly and stupidly disbelieved his identity and resurrection. And Jesus looked at him and said, here is my hand and my side. Thrust your finger into my hand and your fist into my side. He tells us to love one another like that. I want to tell you that if the love you share with others have not cost you anything, you have not shared love. See, some of us will settle for a cheap kind of love. A love that talk a whole lot of good nothing. We'll settle for that. We love to hear good words and words that tickle our inner being and stir up our emotions. But you know, that's a cheap love. If the person saying they love you have no actions, have no sacrifice, they have not loved you. And if you say you love and your love hadn't cost you anything, you have not love. See, love is more than merely going through the motion of trying to convince someone of something that's untrue. He says, love like I love you. 1 John chapter 4 verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. And we are able to love because he loves us. So love costs. It costs. He modeled this love. He went to the cross. And he was mistreated. He was hanged on the cross between two thieves. He was mocked. He was joked and humiliated by the crowd and by the Roman soldiers. But he went all the way. He died for us. He went all the way. But he didn't stay dead. Because love can't stay in the grave. Somebody here know this Sunday morning. He got up out of that grave because love goes all the way. He modeled that love for us. But then as I leave you, he gives a motivation of love. He says, by this everyone would know that you are my disciple if you have loved one for another. Prior to the crucifixion of Jesus, the mark of their discipleship was follow me. Jesus and his disciples were known as his disciples by the fact that they followed him everywhere he went. If he went to Galilee, they went to Galilee. If he went to Samaria, they went to Samaria. Everyone knew who his disciples were because they followed him. They listened to him. They ate with him. They rode on boats with him. They went into homes and synagogues with him. Jesus said, by now, people will know you are my disciples. Not because you're going everywhere I go, but because my love is manifest in you. Love becomes the new badge of discipleship. And as a result of your love one for another, the world will get an understanding of your true discipleship. The true meaning of Christianity that is all about love. The question I ask you this morning or this afternoon is, how will people know who you are? Do they see the love of Christ in you by calling? Do they think you are a Christian by calling yourself a Christian? By calling yourself a member of this church? By clothing yourself with Christian clothing? Or by quoting a few verses here and there? But they need to know you are a child of God by your love for your brethren. When they come into the house of God, the love of God ought to be so thick that you can cut it with a knife. It ought to be so enduring that if you leave and come back, it's still love. You ought to see love in the way we greet one another, and in the way we interact with one another, and in the way we support one another. You ought to see love in the way we encourage one another. We ought to have a love that goes all the way from earth to glory. Thank God for Jesus. Is there anybody in the room? No, Jesus loves you. This I know because the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves us. I thank God for the love of Christ. And because I got a love relationship with Jesus Christ, I can love you when you work my last black nerve. I can love you when you lie on me. I can love you when you dig in ditches. I can love you when you're stabbing me in the back, because the love of God is on the inside of me. Is there anybody that got the love of God on the inside of you? You ought to help me close this sermon union style. You ought to look at somebody and tell them, I know you are not all together. I know you make some mistakes. I know you make some intentional decisions. But that's all right. If the Lord can love me out of all that I've done to him, I can love you out of all you're doing to me, because love goes all the way It went all the way from the Garden of Gethsemane to the mock trials. It went from the mock trials to a hill called Calvary. It went from Calvary to a borrowed tomb. It went from a borrowed tomb to a fishing bank where he had breakfast with his disciples. It went from there to an upper room. And it went from the upper room to the right hand of God the Father, where he's still loving us. Is there anybody thanking God for his love? Look at somebody and tell them, he loves me. He loves me. And because he loves me, I love you. Come on, point to somebody and tell them, I love you. I love you. I love you to life. I love you to life. I love you.
He says, reach in with this love. It's mandated. It's modeled. But it has a motivation. People know you by your love. Not so much by what you say. Because you can say a whole lot of things you don't mean. A whole lot of things you don't intend to do. But love is felt. Without you saying a word, love manifests itself by the actions of your life, the sacrifices you make. Listen, there are a lot of people who merely go through the motion. And they say, well, I love you, I love you, I love you, but there's never a sacrifice. That's not loving. Because the word of God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Love will cause you to give. It's not all taking, but it requires your giving. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. Everyone to your feet, if you will. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here and you're not saved, come today. Give the Lord your life by simply believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Come. Need of a church home, and the Lord has laid this church on your heart. You're saved, but you don't have a church family. The Lord said, come. Come. The Holy Spirit has led you here. Come. Come. Thirdly, if you're here and you're backslidden, the altar of the Lord is open. I hear you saying we're in a pandemic, but you still can pray. And you can ask God to condition your heart, to bring you back into closeness, intimacy with him, in fellowship. You're still his child, but your fellowship has waned. You're not as close to him as you used to be. Come. Come. You can come by ladder, Christian Experience, a candidate for baptism. The Lord's house, the doors of his house stands ajar. Come. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Come today. Don't put off today for tomorrow. You only have now. Tomorrow may be too late. Yesterday is already gone. Come on, come on. I love. Come on, He loves you. That's one that I love you. Listen, as we make ready to depart from this place, but never His divine presence, remember Brother Eddie Wells. He has had surgery on last week. He's at home recovering. So good to see Sister Hatter after the passing of her mother. So good to see Sister Kelly. We ask that you pray for Sister Sandra Ashford and family. Pray for the Samuel family. Reverend David McCoy and Sister Nicole. And Widow Samuel. And that family as they mourn the loss of Brother Samuel. Look at the person to your right and to your left. Remember that person or persons in your prayer. As you're praying, just hear their voice say to you, as you pray, pray for me. That's what love does. Love sacrifices time in prayer to include someone else. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for what our ears have heard, our eyes have seen, our hearts have received. Lord, we lift up one another before you, and especially on today, we lift up those names of the persons we have called, that you're omniscient God. You know where they are. You know what they are going through. You know how they need you to work in their life now. And we just ask, Father, with humility in our petition, that you touch them now in the name of Jesus. That you give them strength in their weakness. You provide and supply their every need. Father, that you will protect them and protect us. Lord, everyone under the sound of my voice stand in need of something. And Father, we pray for one another. Because we love one another. And Lord, we take on the responsibility of looking out for one another and sacrificing ourselves for one another. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us safely to this place. And we ask now that you give us grace and mercy. Lord, the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, the communion of the Holy Spirit, let it rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. In Jesus' name, every heart say amen.